Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
How's it going, everyone? My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm Will Brueggemann. We're both very excited because today marks the beginning of the first week of Nintendo Month.
Very exciting. Yeah. Something we're trying out on this podcast. It's going to be an annual thing, so you should look forward to this every November. We're going to be doing Nintendo Month.
Right. This one is actually in honor of that the new Nintendo console, the Wii U, is coming out on November 18th. So we thought we'd just have a whole Nintendo-a-thon for this whole month. And the topic of today's episode is Metroid. So we're going to be doing a highlight on this entire series of games, and we're going to be playing music from almost every single Metroid title.
Yeah, and Metroid is obviously a very important video game series, just if you're talking about video games in general, but really music, too. I mean, there's some classic tracks, and it's kind of nice because we actually haven't played much Metroid music on this podcast, so it's kind of nice that we're able to save it up for today's episode. And actually, right. One interesting thing, listening to this track, we could have used this last week. You know, a lot of the Super Metroid music is so creepy and spooky, but it's kind of nice that we saved it for today's episode. So
right. Well, I know personally Metroid is probably my favorite game series. But yeah, I've always been a huge fan of the music. And
yeah, we've talked a lot in this podcast about how kind of revolutionary the original music of the first Metroid was. We've talked a lot about Hip Tanaka's influence, and we'll kind of talk a little bit more on that today. But yeah, we have kind of touched on some of those things from the Metroid series. But
right.
Yeah, this what you're hearing right now is from Super Metroid. This is a track called The Space Pirates Emerge. And this soundtrack was composed by Kenji Yamamoto and Minako Hamano.
Right. Well, the Metroid series is very important to video games in general because, in a simple sense, it basically just combined the exploration and action element of Zelda with the jumping and platforming of Super Mario Brothers. Mm. And you were able to upgrade weapons and get better, kind of like you did in Zelda, where as you continued your quest in this giant open world, you became more powerful. And it was one interconnected world, and that was very impressive for the time.
Oh, definitely. The thing about Metroid music that is so unique and that I just respect so much is how incredibly atmospheric it is. It really creates these strong emotions and these serious... It has a very serious quality to a lot of this music, and it's very captivating. And I don't know, especially for the early games, you know, for the late 80s and the early 90s on the NES and the SNES, I just think it was really ahead of its time, and it really just painted a vivid picture in your mind, even if you're not playing the game, if you're just listening to this music. It really creates this world in your mind, and it's just,
right.
I don't know, it's impressive.
The original idea was actually very much inspired by the movie, the Ridley Scott film Alien, and thus the name of one of the main villains in the game is Ridley.
Yeah.
But it also took the inspiration, the idea of being sort of isolated, and the idea of a female protagonist.
Yeah,
and this
definitely.
Actually marks the first time in video games where there was a female protagonist. It was kind of a plot twist at the end of the game.
It's kind of crazy to think that that happened. That would still be cool if that came out nowadays, but to think that they did that in what, like 86?
Right.
Like that's pretty ahead of its time, you know?
Right. Well, anyways, we should get into this music.
Yeah, let's do it.
The first track that we're playing is from the original Metroid from the Nintendo Entertainment System. Now, this game was originally released on the Famicom Disk System in 1986.
Right.
However, it was ported to the Nintendo Entertainment System a year later in 1987. And one thing to note about the music is it was composed by Hirokazu Tanaka, as we've probably mentioned before. But the Famicom Disk System had one extra channel, so you'll notice in some of the music from the NES version of Metroid, you lose some of the musicality as far as the instruments go, because there either is not usually that delay effect that could be more prominent in the Famicom version, or in some cases, you actually lose a melodic note. For example, like the save theme.
Sure.
You actually can't hear the melody quite as clearly as you should be able to.
So we're going to play a couple tracks from the actual NES versions of the game, which is probably the more classic and well-known versions. The first track we're going to play is Brinstar, composed by Hirohip Tanaka from Metroid.
Thank you.
This is Brinstar from Metroid, composed by Hirokazu Hibtanaka.
This is probably the most classic Metroid song of all time. It's the very first track that you hear in the game, and it's incredibly effective for the NES. And for the time, this is a very impressive and accurate sounding march. It's definitely trying to go for a Legend of Zelda type of thing, but it's its own piece of music specifically, because you have that which definitely gives it a march feeling, and the melody is just so timeless and memorable. It feels very rousing and exciting.
It feels at home in the Nintendo library at this time, because you're right, it doesn't sound incredibly apart from the music of Zelda, but you're right, it does create its own sort of emotions, kind of what I was talking about before. It really fits for a sci-fi game. What's really important about this particular theme you're hearing right now is this is the first piece of music you hear when you're starting the adventure. Right after the dun 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 dun, this is the first like overworld that you hear in the game. And it's really important that it's very rousing and sort of happy, because if it wasn't, I feel like a lot of people may not give this game as much of a chance, because it is sort of this roaming, kind of alone, just a type of game that maybe people hadn't played at that time. So I feel like if you didn't have this really powerful music, some people may not even give it a shot. I feel like this music is very important in the placement of the first game.
Right. And most of the music, at least as far as the level themes go, do not sound this rousing.
Exactly.
But Brinstar is sort of the area that connects all the other environments in the rest of the game.
It's like the hub,
Norfair, yeah. Norfair to Kraid's Lair and what have you. And it's really nice, because after you go to those places and you have darker music and darker levels, more challenging level design, bosses and what have you, it's nice because then you go back to Brinstar and
it feels
you
like you're coming home.
At home.
Yeah, that's a really good point. They reuse this Brinstar theme in so many other Metroid games. It's really the Metroid theme. This is like, I guess you could equate this to the Super Mario Brothers overworld theme. They reuse it all over, and it just is. This is classic Metroid music right here.
Right.
Crazy that we've never played this track on the podcast so far, but that was Brinstar. We're going to move on to one of my personal favorite Metroid themes. This is Kraid, the Kraid theme, and we're actually going to do a nice little mix here. We're going to start off with the original NES version, and then, once we're talking about it later on, we're actually going to transition into the Metroid Zero Mission version. So that was a game that came out for the Game Boy Advance that was pretty much just like a reimagining of the first game, and it had slightly updated music. So here is Kraid theme.
Listening to the Kraid theme. Now, this is an incredibly gorgeous piece of music, and one thing that really jumped out at me this time that I guess I hadn't really noticed before is how many times it loops each thematic idea.
Exactly. Yeah, it loops it just enough where, like, is this ever going to change? And then it changes.
Right.
It's really effective. But every single idea is incredibly powerful, and it keeps on getting more and more and more powerful. And what's really cool is the very last idea, right before it transitions back to the loop.
Right.
That's like, you're right, that feels like is this going to go forever? Like, when is this going to change? And it's this nice feeling of resolution when it actually goes back. But, oh my gosh, that part there is what I was talking about.
Right.
Yeah, and here it transitions to the Metroid Zero Mission version, if you want to hear this. So yeah, slightly better instruments here.
The thing that I like about the Metroid Zero Mission version is it actually starts off with that da-da-da-da-da-da-da, but it actually is utilizing the chords for the song, so it goes dun 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 dun.
Yeah, it has a different start, yeah. Very cool. Yeah, that's such a great track. It's definitely one of the most classic Metroid tracks and one of my personal favorites.
Yeah.
A lot of classical influence in that track.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
And it definitely separates itself from every other track in the game. Like Brinstar, there's no other march like that, and it's such an iconic melody. But Norfair is very ambient and dissonant, and Ridley is very kind of spooky and dark. But this one, you're right, is very classical. And it is a darker sound, but it's that constantly moving classical sound. And every single level theme in this game has its own distinct sound,
that's
which
so
I think
true.
Is really nice to help diversify the levels, not just in the visuals, but in the music.
The music,
and sound
yeah.
Also.
This is definitely a standout track. One of the things that really evokes the classical feel is it's in a waltz, if you've noticed. A dun 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 dun. But usually, and it's just, it's so much darker than most waltzes that you hear, so it's. Super, super effective.
Another thing is Hirokazu Tanaka really makes use of the limited channels on the NES by jumping all over. That melody goes du-du-du-du-du-du-du-du. And
it
in
leaps,
and of itself,
yeah.
it outlines a very specific chord.
Yeah.
And then in addition to the moving bass line and some of the other notes, it really helps to sort of create this larger harmonic sound that isn't necessarily being accented by chords, as if like when you listen to the Zero Mission
sure.
version, they have like what sounds almost like a sort of stringed background instrument.
Yeah, that's a really effective use of limited channels because you're still able to make it sound very full because you have a very wide range of notes and octaves that you're using.
Right.
It's just very spread out. And again, it kind of lends itself to the sci-fi aspect of the you know, the incredibly large world that you're in because the notes are just so spread out.
Right.
It's pretty brilliant.
I think one of my favorite things about Metroid music is that not only is it really effective, but it really helps to diversify the different places in which you traverse on the planet, or in some cases multiple planets. It really gives each area a distinct musical sound. And a cool thing about the Metroid games is that every area feels unique, whether it's a rocky type of background or whether it's like lava or ice, or there's always very unique and interesting level designs in Metroid games. And I always feel like the music really helps to tie together that sort of feeling of diversity.
That's a very good point, Will. And one of my favorite things about the Metroid series, and which is made even more powerful by the music, is that every one of those areas you have to go back to so many times in the game. There's a lot of backtracking. And when you hear those same themes over and over again, it really gives you this feeling of nostalgia and melancholy, hearing those same things over again. And it feels like they're in different contexts. You're right. Like, so when you go back to Brinstar, it's like, oh, it feels like I remember when I was first here. And the music of these Metroid games really kind of adds to that experience of having to go back to all these places. You know, it's really unique for a video game. Well, we're going to move on to Metroid 2, and this came out for the Game Boy. And this was, how many years after the original was this, Will? This was quite a few years after. This was like 5 years maybe after?
Yeah, it was quite a while after the original. And the original was fairly successful in the US, but Metroid's never been quite as popular in Japan for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But the original producer of the first game, Gunpei Yokoi, he's actually the creator of the Game Boy. So it was his idea to create Metroid 2 for the Game Boy. And I think that was sort of the beginning of the inception of the idea of making another Metroid game. And I think to some Metroid fans, this is considered a little bit to be the black sheep because it has a very different formula, as in you're sort of going around exterminating Metroids as opposed to fighting various bosses and traversing in a more non-linear sense. This game is slightly more linear.
Probably more of an extreme case of maybe Zelda 2. I mean, I think this is considered worse than Zelda 2 as far as fans of those series are concerned, but in some ways kind of a similar departure in that kind of sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very different, and ironically it actually feels inspired by the sequel to Alien, Aliens. Is in the first one, you know, it's sort of this lonely exploration, but the second game is all about exterminating the Metroids.
So we're going to play the piece called Surface of SR388, and this is composed by Ryoji Yoshitomi. This is the surface of SR388 from Metroid 2 Return of Samus, composed by Ryoji Yoshitomi for the Game Boy. Pretty good piece here, pretty good melody. For me, it doesn't really feel like classic Metroid. When I hear this music, it kind of feels like it would be more at home for like an arcade, like side-scroller or something. It doesn't really have the same level of seriousness that a lot of the other music from the series has, but it's a good tune. It's a good piece of music.
Right. I mean, I think it definitely sounds very different than most other Metroid music, because this composer did not work on any other Metroid games.
Sure.
And the Metroid 1 soundtrack is just so iconic, and every melody is so timeless. And then Super Metroid definitely feels more like, sort of, I guess you could say, classic Metroid, because it's very ambient and, I guess, more serious.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think this works for Metroid, because kind of like the Hirokazu Tanaka music, there it is sort of an iconic theme, and it's rousing, but it's still sort of accenting that spacey quality a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's a good point. You know, I definitely am a fan of this song. I don't think the soundtrack is dense. I think this was probably the only track we both agreed that we would ever play from the soundtrack.
A lot of the music is just sort of, I guess, ambient, but it doesn't really come across very well on the Game Boy.
It's hard
and
to do
actually,
that.
This was one of the first Game Boy games I ever played, and I thought that because of the music to this game, like, the Game Boy had a very limited, you know, sound chip and that it couldn't do much musically, but I think it was just an instance of the composer not really doing too much musically with the soundtrack.
Yep, I agree. All right, now it's very early on in the episode, but it is time for our Track of the Week. This is the prologue from Super Metroid. That's right, we're moving on to the 16-bit era now. And like we said before, this game was composed by Kenji Yamamoto and Manako Hamano. This game came out in 1994, and this track is pretty much the first piece of music that you hear in the game right after the title screen.
Right. This is actually commonly referred to as the theme of Samus Aran, and you'll probably recognize it if you're a fan of the Metroid series, even if you haven't played Super Metroid, because this one has been utilized in a lot of different Metroid games. It's a very classic track.
Here is Prologue.
The last Metroid is in captivity. The galaxy is at peace.
Listening to the prologue from Super Metroid. Now, this is a complete microcosm of Kenji Yamamoto's musical style. I really love this track. It encompasses all the different elements that make a Metroid track great. There's a definite spacey, dark ambience there, but there's also a really iconic melody, and I really like the use of some of the suspensions they use towards the end of it. It's really nice.
In the melody that you were referring to, I feel like is kind of inspired by a lot of classic film melodies.
Right.
And that's what again makes it feel very Metroid and very Nintendo. That's what makes it fit at home in the Nintendo world, you know. But yeah, this is a classic track. Like Will said earlier, there's so many countless games that would reuse the melodies in this prologue. But this really set the stage for this game, and really set the stage for what was going to be this you know, kind of legendary series of video games, because it was a long time for Metroid 1 to Metroid 2, and Metroid 2 was kind of a downgrade in a lot of people's opinions, but Super Metroid really put it back on the map in a big way.
Yeah, this is probably one of my favorite games of all time. If not my first favorite, it's probably my second favorite. And as far as the soundtrack, I mean, it's also, like original Metroid, it's very diverse. And it's just absolutely classic.
So, with that in mind, we're going to move on and play some other tracks from Super Metroid. This is a track called Brinstar Underground Depths. And again, this is composed by Kenji Yamamoto and Manako Hamano. ¶¶ Brinstar, Underground Depths, from Super Metroid, composed by Kenji Yamamoto and Manako Hamano. Absolutely classic piece. I love this piano line here that comes in. Some really nice delay, and it's separated on each of the channels. In general, for me, this is one of my favorite Metroid pieces from this game. It's absolutely classic, and it combines what Will was talking about with the really kind of ambient atmosphere, especially in the beginning with those low droning sounds, but it happens to have a great melody, and it's able to do both, and that's what I think is so effective about this piece is that it's ambient, it's atmospheric, it's moody, it's melodic, it's rhythmic, it's groovy, it's all of those things wrapped into one.
Yeah. One thing that I really respect about this soundtrack, and I don't know if it's either Kenji Yamamoto or Manako Hamano, I really don't know who composed this one or the track that we previously did, but one thing that I've noticed that's consistent throughout this entire soundtrack, there's a great use of a very few notes to create a very memorable line, like dun 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 dun.
Those intervals, exactly.
Or in the last track, it would be da 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 da. Like,
brilliant.
With very few notes, they're able just to create an instant emotion. And then once you have that already set up, having a very slow and simple melody like this,
what I love
really
about,
gives it space to breathe.
Yeah, those intervals that they came up with on so many of these tracks in Super Metroid are so brilliant and very unique. What I love about this track is the delayed percussion.
Yeah.
I mean, if that doesn't sound like a space, like atmosphere, that's just brilliant.
It's just very creepy. It definitely feels like the emotions that this game is able to conjure up in the player is just really incredible because of the visuals, the gameplay, the sound effects, and the music. I mean, all the parts are working together to, in my opinion, create the most atmospheric game in the entire Super Nintendo library.
One thing interesting, if you're talking about the actual instruments, is those little choir, those like, sounds you're hearing, they would reuse that, and that would pretty much become a staple of the Metroid series,
right,
well into the GameCube and into the Wii, which I think is kind of funny that they kept using that, and it was the same composer, Kenji Yamamoto, that was working on those games. I just find that a little bit unique that they would kind of keep that kind of MIDI-sounding choir voice as like a staple, but we're going to play one more track from Super Metroid. This is a track called Ridley's Theme, and this is one of the most classic Metroid themes of all time.
This is Ridley's Theme from Super Metroid. I think this is believed to be composed by Manako Hamano.
I think most people believe that Manako Hamano did most of the kind of the battle or the kind of the darker, more kind of intense stuff, and Kenji Yamamoto did more of the kind of melodic stuff.
Yeah, I just think this is really interesting, and again, it's another example of a few short, like a small sequence of notes that's incredibly memorable, and this is just such a great, simple piece. Dun, 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 dun,
what's really
dun,
great
dun,
about
dun,
this piece is it's in 5-4, which you don't hear a lot of boss themes in 5-4, but doesn't it feel so natural? Like, you almost have to think to yourself, oh, I guess it is in 5-4. It doesn't sound weird. Dun, 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 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3. It's so interesting and unique, but it's incredibly effective, and it really rocks. Like, it's just, I don't know.
My favorite thing about this is I really love the dynamic contrast between that sort of percussion instrument that...
Yes. Kind of a bad percussion instrument.
Yeah, I also really like that B section. It just builds up, like, from the bass, it just keeps building up, and by the end, it gets really kind of dissonant, and it's also crescendoing that whole time and getting louder and louder and more powerful, and then it feels really cool because then it goes back to
nothing.
This is actually used in multiple boss fights in Super Metroid. It's also I think, used in the Dragoon boss fight.
And they reuse it in later Metroid games. This is a type of piece that, like you said, has incredible use of dynamics and sounds so great orchestrated. It's one of those pieces that when you hear, you're like, this is tailor-made for an orchestra. You know, all those dynamic swells, they can just really emphasize those. So that's really cool. We're going to move on now to Metroid Fusion, which it's crazy to think that this was literally the next game in the Metroid timeline. So many years had passed from Super Metroid to this. And actually, Metroid Fusion and Metroid Prime came out the same time, so we'll be moving to Prime after this. But we're going to play a few tracks from this game. This came out for the Game Boy Advance. And we're going to start off with a track called Facing a Huge Reaction. And this is composed by Manako Hamano and Akira Fujiwara. Facing a Huge Reaction from the game Metroid Fusion, composed by Manako Hamano and Akira Fujiwara. Such a classic track for me, incredibly nostalgic. I had such a great time and so many great memories with this game when I played it for the Game Boy Advance back in, I believe, 2002. Just an amazing game. I think one of the, maybe the best Game Boy Advance game of all time.
Oh, I would 100% agree with that. And I think this, in some ways, might be one of my favorite Metroid games. It's just, it's so great because it's so different. And it doesn't feel like a lot of other Metroid games. But it's one of my favorite stories, surprisingly, because it has a very small story, but the way in which it's told through gameplay is just very effective. And like, if you thought Super Metroid had scary moments, this just made you feel very frightened and isolated in that spaceship sort of environment.
Yeah, it's a little more claustrophobic. I feel like this game has much more plot than any previous Metroid games by far. There's so much dialogue with you and Adam, and it really kind of feels like there's this whole backstory. But yeah, amazing soundtrack, and it's cool that Manako Hamano came back to do this. And and actually, Kenji Yamamoto was the sound supervisor for this game, so it's kind of nice to have those old players back again.
Well, and he also did the sound effects for the Super Metroid soundtrack, so he probably helped with some of the sound effects on this game, as well as supervising some of the musical elements as well.
Yeah, and it's cool going from Super Metroid to Fusion, something that I never would have done, listened to those side by side, but doesn't this feel right at home?
Right.
Like, this really feels like the true continuation of Super Metroid.
Yeah. One thing that's interesting to note about the music from Fusion is that, unlike the music from the other Metroid games, a lot of the musical themes sort of stay with you from one section of the game to the other, depending on what's happening in the plot, or what if you just talk to Adam and he tells you some good news, maybe it'll play something like this. But if he tells you some dark news, it might play a very scary theme.
Mm-hmm.
And that will stay with you maybe while you're going up an elevator and while you're going to like the next sector. And I think it's really nice. It almost feels more like film score, where it's accenting the emotions, not just like from level to level has its own theme. And they also do have individual level themes, but there's also it feels like the score is a little bit more following the emotions and that the player is supposed to be feeling, and that maybe we could assume that Samus is feeling.
And for the Game Boy Advance, that was impressive.
Yeah.
If you haven't had the opportunity to play this game, we highly recommend it. If you happen to have an old Game Boy Advance lying around, or even like I think a DS, it was backwards compatible. But yeah, this game is absolutely phenomenal. So we're going to play a couple more tracks from this game. This is the Arachnus X boss theme. Here we go.
We'll be right back.
We're listening to the Arachnix X boss theme. Now, this is actually from the very first boss fight in the game.
Right.
If you remember, it's the boss where you gain the Morph Ball ability after you defeat him. And it's a very intense and epic boss for the very first fight of the game. And it's fairly simple, but it does a very nice job of making you feel like you had a gigantic accomplishment
sure.
at the very beginning of the game.
Yeah, I remember first playing this boss and getting the Morph Ball like, man, I'm really up for a challenge for this game. But you're right, it really wasn't that difficult, but it makes you feel like it is.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, Metroid Fusion, it feels a lot like Super Metroid, but what's nice about it is I feel like some of the bosses interact with the environment a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And this is a type of thing where it'll roll and crash against the walls, and it really makes it kind of feel frightening that, like, the creatures can have an effect on the environment. And
sure.
one thing I just like about this piece is there's a lot of, like, tension and stress in it, but you also have
that
bass line.
I love that part. Did you hear that part where the notes were speeding up exponentially? That was so cool. I don't even know how you would notate that. That's awesome. Yeah, this game is a challenging game, but compared to Super Metroid, it's definitely a little bit easier.
Right.
But yeah, we're going to play one more track from this game. This is a very beautiful piece. This is getting a little bit more of the atmospheric quality of the Metroid series. This is called Underwater Depths.
This is Underwater Depths from Metroid Fusion. This is a beautiful track. One thing I love about it is how long the loop is. I guess you could... I don't even know if it is a loop.
There's
it's
so many
going
sections.
On so long.
Yeah, like that. The part that came in, it took at least a minute, almost like a minute and 30 seconds to get to that, what I would consider to be the main melody of this piece.
Yeah.
Long sustained chords.
Wait, listen
very
to this
beautiful.
Part.
Ooh, that dissonance.
That's so commonly
That's such
used
a release
in the Metroid Fusion
to go
soundtrack.
From those dissonant notes to the release. But like, what I love about the main melody section is the note that it lands on, the second note. It's a very dissonant note, but it's held. That dissonant note is held for like a whole measure.
Hey, it just looped back.
Cool.
Oh, what a brilliant piece.
What
and
do you
the
think
form
of the
is so fantastic.
The instruments on this are very impressive. I guess you consider it a harp sound, I guess, that you're hearing right now. When it gets to the high range, it does sound like a harp, but what's interesting is when it gets lower,
right.
it starts to sound more like 8-bit.
Well,
you know?
I actually like that about it. I really like that instrument. It actually sounds kind of aquatic. It has sort of like a deep and full sound to it. It doesn't really sound very like staccato and plucked like
and
a
I noticed that
sound.
You were mentioning earlier that the GBA sounds always kind of remind you of TurboGrafx a little bit. I think I agree as far as the buzzy kind of not high fidelity nature of it, but they did have some better samples, like those string sounds sound nice and the drums sound much better.
I mean, it really reminds me of the music from Out of This World a little bit.
Yeah, this section especially, this main section. Yeah, we both had that reaction when we were listening to this week.
It reminds me of Super Metroid, truthfully. Like, this would be right at home in Super Metroid. Oh, this is great. I think this might be one of my favorites from Metroid Fusion.
Yeah, that melodic idea right there feels like it was right out of this world. That's very cool. Oh,
stellar soundtrack.
All right, I'm really excited. We're going to move on to my favorite game in the Metroid series, and I think we've mentioned this before. This is my favorite game of all time,
actually.
This
is both of our favorite games of all time.
Yeah, this is Metroid Prime. And this came out for the GameCube in 2002. And this soundtrack was composed by Kenji Yamamoto. So it was very cool that he came back to do the music of this game. We're going to play a track called Findrana Drifts. Gorgeous. This is Findrana Drifts from Metroid Prime, composed by Kenji Yamamoto. That section there with the harp and those kind of very open piano chords, this is really kind of evoking minimalism in a lot of ways, but it's just incredibly beautiful and very atmospheric. And this is the section of the game where you're in this kind of frozen ice snow world.
And doesn't this sound like Kenji Yamamoto if you've
really
ever heard
does.
It? These chords, when the chords come in, it's just like...
And you notice that earlier, when the chords come in, it takes a while, but as soon as they do come in, it's the first time where that piano riff is actually changing notes
it goes
to match the chords. For the first time.
But that doesn't happen until the chords come in.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that I really like about this is that this was back on the GameCube, but they didn't have access to really nice orchestral samples or even a full orchestra in general, but they use a lot of ambient noise. And what I think is just so interesting is it sounds incredibly modern.
Mm-hmm. Because except for that piano instrument. But
so, it almost feels like it's purposefully almost like electronic sounding.
Oh, I see.
It's really nice, and it has its own unique sound. Like, the Prime series has a very distinct sound.
This part is another kind of minimalistic kind of part where that arpeggio is actually doing the same notes while the chords change.
Yeah.
It's just that kind of ostinato that's repeated, and those chords are so beautiful.
Yeah.
This is so cool.
One thing I really like that
in this part here, where the techno beat comes in,
right.
This is when you're in like the deeper section of Findrana Drifts. There's like this whole other area of Findrana Drifts that you get to later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really love some of those like that like noise in the background that's doubling the melody.
Those kind
that's
of bell
just very,
instruments.
Yeah, bell. It's very washy. It almost sounds like chilly air. It's just brilliant instrumentation. And the piece is just so simple and effective. It does a great job to contrast, because in the game you just came from Magmoor Caverns, which is a very dun-dun-dun-dun. It's actually the lower Norfair area in Super Metroid.
Yeah, one thing I love about this second theme that it transitioned to here with the techno beat, you're in Findrana Drifts for hours and hours and there's no drums and it's very peaceful. But finally when you get to this other section, it feels nice to have this rhythmic backbeat. And there's that little break there that nice little riff, you know, while the drums cut out. So
one thing I love about a lot of the rhythms of this game, it almost feels like it's in sync to Samus's footsteps. So like her arm cannon will like bob up and down to the
grooving
beat of the
music. That's so cool. Yeah. Okay, we're gonna play a couple more tracks from Metroid Prime. This is a track called Underwater Frigate Reactor Core, and the ship that you're on in the prologue of this game actually crash lands on the planet Talon 4, and later when you're on the planet, you actually have to go underwater and you go back into the ship, but it's all sunken and kind of destroyed. So this is the theme that plays. This is Underwater Frigate Reactor Core, composed by Kenji Yamamoto.
This is Underwater Frigate Reactor Core from Metroid Prime. This is, in my opinion, one of the most beautiful tracks we've ever played on the podcast.
I completely agree.
There's such subtlety to this one. It's very simple, but it's just so beautiful. There's so many different parts that are moving, and then there's a lot of just things in the background that you might not notice, and it sort of blurs the line between sound effects and music. Because since there is such a subtlety in the instrumentation, it just really sort of blends everything that you're hearing in the game into like one nice, like rounded package. It's just, it's really nice. It definitely doesn't feel like anything's like cutting out as like, this is music and, you know.
Yeah, this is definitely, I think, the most beautiful piece in this game, and one of my favorite Metroid pieces of all time. I actually figured this out on the piano a while back because I was just so into it. I love the chord choices. They're very unique. And you're right, those kind of atmospheric sounds, a lot of them are also piano sounds that you hear in the background, those piano slides that have delay on them. So you're having a lot of piano sounds, you're also having a lot of kind of electronic synth sounds, you're having a little bit of that sine wave, which is the classic Metroid Prime instrument that you just hear, they just kind of touch a little bit in this piece, but this is definitely, you can really hear Kenji Yamamoto's style coming through in this piece, and again, it kind of makes you feel this melancholy, nostalgic feeling, because you're traversing in this area that you had been to before, but now it's in a different context, and I feel like this is the best example that in the whole series of that nostalgic feeling. So
it's just beautiful.
Great track. We're going to play one more track from Metroid Prime. This is the Chozo Artifact Temple. So one of the quests that you have in the game is to find all these different Chozo artifacts. So this is kind of one of the main themes of the game. Here is Chozo Artifact Temple, composed by Kenji Yamamoto.
Thank you.
Chozo Artifact Temple from Metroid Prime, composed by Kenji Yamamoto. One of my favorite pieces in this game. I love how what you just heard there is it's going back to the original Metroid title theme. And what's really cool is they use that in Metroid Prime, and they use some of those same instruments that you just heard, some of those... I always kind of think of them as like insect or like Metroid sounds, like the inside of a Metroid. So it's cool that they went back to that theme. But this main theme here is absolutely gorgeous with the really lush arpeggiated harp sound. And again, what I was talking about with Kenji, he loves to use those choir sounds. And this one, this particular game actually has a lot of these themes that are very similar to this, with a similar instrumentation, with very lush choir sounds that are doing the melody. But yeah, a lot of very spacey chords. Actually, I feel like this episode is our most relaxing episode we've ever had. So many of these tracks, you just feel like you're on this pillow cloud, you know. But yeah, really, really nice chord changes. A lot of major seventh chords in this piece.
Yeah. Oh, it's just, it's absolutely beautiful. And I just think it's brilliant how he goes back to the Metroid theme.
Some of the chords of this game in some of these kind of spacier songs kind of always reminded me of this Chemical Brothers song called Star Guitar.
Yeah.
You know, something about just the spacey quality of it and some of those major seventh chords. But
gosh, this is just a great soundtrack, phenomenal game.
Yeah. We're going to move on now to Metroid Zero Mission, and we talked about this before. This is a kind of a redone version of the original game, which came out for the Game Boy Advance. And this was composed by Kenji Yamamoto and Minako Hamano, obviously using original music that was composed by Hirokazu Hiptanaka. So we're going to play the title theme from Metroid Zero Mission.
Listening to the title theme from Metroid Zero Mission. Now what's great is here you're listening to what would actually be the start of the Metroid theme in the original NES version.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really brilliant about how they did this version, Kenji Yamamoto and Minako Hamano, what's really interesting about what they did is they started with one of the more beautiful sections of the piece, and I think it's a really nice idea to start it there, because you have this very delicate melody, and then you move into this very lush, almost romantic-sounding, very beautiful melody.
Reminds me of Zelda music.
Oh, it's so powerful. This was one of my favorite. Like, I used to play this game a lot, and I would just stay on this title screen just listening to it, because that was before I actually had access to an NES, so I never really played the original one.
Interesting how many
much.
Themes remind us of the Fairy Fountain theme. This is another one for me that does, but yeah, very well done. It's nice that they're able to kind of really pay homage to the original soundtrack and really pay a lot of respects to it with having these updated string sounds,
right.
But it is cool how they go back to that original very harsh sound of the 8-bit title theme, which I was just talking about in the Chozo Artifact Temple.
And what's nice is this, every musical thing here is from the original Metroid game, because
sure,
this is all from the original title theme composed by Hirokazu Tanaka, but they just changed the form up, and they're able to allow more harmonic voices happening during those later sections, and it's really beautiful version. It's one of my favorite things about Zero Mission, truthfully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very, very cool. All right, we're going to move on to Metroid Prime 2, Echoes. And this game came out a few years after the first Metroid Prime, also for the GameCube. And this was also composed by Kenji Yamamoto. We're going to play a track called Torvis Bog. ¶¶ This is Torvis Bog from Metroid Prime 2. Yeah, if this doesn't feel like a classic Prime piece, Kenji loves using that sine wave in these soundtracks, and one thing that's great about the Metroid Prime music is it's so rhythmically groovy. Like, there's always a cool beat underneath it, and that's kind of what makes it sound modern. Like, it feels like Metroid, but it feels like this is a new era in Metroid music, because you're always having that kind of groovy beat, but it's not like a normal sounding drum set, you know? It still sounds, it's like a space drum set.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool, but... Yeah, he loves those sine waves and all those kind of lush pads. They're very signature to the trilogy of the Prime series. But
yeah.
Awesome track.
It's just gorgeous.
That melody is great. Dee-noo-nee-noo-nee-noo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does a fantastic job for every single Metroid game I've ever heard him do, where he really fits the music to the specific game. Like, I feel like a lot of this doesn't inherently sound like Super Metroid. A lot of it is more ambient and atmospheric.
But when you play the game,
techno, but it just
fits perfectly.
It fits. Yeah, you're right. It fits perfectly. And it's so masterfully done. Like, all the instrumentation and all the choices for synth instruments that he uses, it's just so great.
One of the things that's most impressive to me about his work in the Prime series is when I hear the songs now, I immediately can see the world in my head.
Yeah.
For most of all, for Metroid Prime 1, because I've played that more, but even for this, I see Torvis Bog. Like, I can just see it in my head.
Yeah,
even though
landscape.
I may have not played this game quite as much. Like, when you hear this music, it just brings you back immediately. And part of that is, I was saying, you have to keep on retraversing the same areas over and over again. So if you can have good music, that is a definite plus.
Yeah, I think this is one of the best sounding soundtracks on the GameCube, in my opinion.
Definitely.
Mean, compare this to at least the sound, instrumentation wise, of like Wind Waker or something. Like, it's
it
sounds way bigger and way better.
We're going to move on to Metroid Prime 3, Corruption. And this came out for the Nintendo Wii, and it was the first game that had a different control scheme in the Prime series, so you actually utilized the Wiimote. And I remember that was very exciting. In some ways, that was kind of reinvigorating the Prime series with the updated control, and also they feel like there was just more interaction and more people around you. It didn't feel quite as alone.
Yeah, it was definitely a very epic conclusion to the trilogy, and it's another great game, and I think it balances some of the more Metroid-y, lonely elements, some of the more spooky, almost horror elements of the series, and it has a really good soundtrack, probably better than Echoes.
Yeah, we're going to play a couple tracks from this game. This was composed by Kenji Yamamoto, Manaka Homano, as well as Masaru Tajima. This is Skytown.
This is Skytown Alicia from Metroid Prime 3 Corruption. This is just a beautiful track. It's really good. It completely fits all the emotions that are in this environment. What's really nice is you can, in these games, you sort of get little bits and pieces of the story by scanning computer terminals. And I always was a big fan. They're sort of optional, but I would always do that. And this location actually sort of tells a very sad backstory about these like robot creatures being created and then sort of their evolution and then their like extinction, basically. And so there's a very sort of ancient and almost melancholy sound to this music, because there's all these beautiful machines and environments here, but it's very empty and it's all sort of from ages long ago. And I think that's really captured by the music.
Yeah, one thing that I love about this piece is that in the placement of the game, it feels, you have a sense of awe and wonder, because the previous areas in the game felt a little bit more kind of claustrophobic, and this is a lot more beautiful and open, so the music definitely is capturing that. It feels like, when you get to this point in the game, it feels like you're reaching a milestone in the game, so the music is definitely evoking that feel as well, so very effective piece. Again, those choral sound effects are just a staple of this series. It kind of dates it a little bit, but can't really say too much against it because it's so beautiful. We're going to play another track from this game. This is the Rundus boss theme.
Yeah, one of the elements of this game is that you're not as alone in this game as you are in other Metroid games. There's actually three other bounty hunters that you have a mission on. They're all sent and dispatched to different planets. And this is actually a boss battle where you're fighting a character named Rundus, and it's a very epic battle, and there's sort of a sadness to it. But it harkens back a little bit to the Rundus theme, which you hear earlier in the game when you first meet this character.
Here is Rundus boss theme. Awesome part at the end there. This is Rundus boss theme for Metroid Prime 3 Corruption. It's so obvious to me that this was composed by Kenji Yamamoto, because I know for a fact he did solely the first two games, and that end section is just so classic Prime to me. And this game was worked on by three people, but for me it's so obvious that he did this track. It's all about that end section for me. That's the kind of sadness that Will was alluding to earlier in this piece.
Yeah. Oh, that's just beautiful.
Yeah, so that's actually the last track we're going to talk about today. So
yeah, I find it hard to even say something about a lot of this music because it's just it's so tight and well executed. But
it speaks for itself.
It's very simple, and it's just incredibly effective. And I think it's a good example for a lot of modern video games where you don't necessarily have to not be doing anything musical in order for it to be rhythmic or effective or ambient. And I feel like the Metroid games really embody that. As the games got more intense and more serious, the music fit that, and they always fit the style of the games, but there was always good melodies, and there was always really good music.
And rhythmically interesting parts, too. Yeah, in general, I feel like the music of the Metroid series was able to get the best of both worlds. And for my opinion, it's more atmospheric and emotional and spacey than any other music that I've ever heard, but it also has some of the best melodies of any video game series, so it really is a unique and impressive series for video game music, definitely. So I'm glad we were able to do that. It was kind of nice. Like, yeah, we hadn't played any tracks from Prime 2 or 3 or Fusion or most of these series ever before. So it's nice we kind of saved it all up for today's episode.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's really good to start off Nintendo Month with kind of a bang. I mean, this is one of the biggest Nintendo franchises. I mean, I already mentioned it's probably my favorite video game series, but yeah, it's one of the big pillars. I consider this, Zelda and Mario, like the three gigantic pillars of core Nintendo franchises.
Definitely. Cool. So yeah, again, next week, we're not going to tell you exactly what we're going to be doing, but it's something in the world of Nintendo. So yeah, you should be very excited for what we have in store for the rest of this month. But this was a really fun time today playing the music for this legendary series.
Right.
Once again, my name is Carl Brueggemann.
I'm Will Brueggemann. Thanks for joining us again, you guys. We really appreciate it. Keep sticking to the podcast and tune in next week for the second week of Nintendo Month. We're going to play you out with a really interesting piece. It's a an orchestral medley of Super Metroid music. Okay, have a nice week, you guys.
Peace out.